The following is an exclusive presentation of Pirate Radio, the voice of the pirate nation. This is Eastern North Carolina's longest-running sports radio call-in show. The Brian Bailey Show is on the air. The Brian Bailey Show on Pirate Radio is brought to you by
The Angus Grill, Bostic Sugg Furniture, Bojangles, East Coast Grading, Greenville Auto World, Papa John's, Greenville Utility Company, Michelob Ultra, The Rick House, Taft, Taft & Hagler, and Tiebreakers.
And now, here's Brian Bailey.
Okay, happy Monday, everybody. Welcome into our show. We're talking Pirate baseball. East Carolina stays at number 11 in the D1 baseball poll. Baseball America still has East Carolina at 15, so the loss yesterday didn't hurt as far as the rankings go. East Carolina takes 2 out of 3 in the Keith LeClaire Classic. Joining us today live in the studio, Heath Blackman, who is the Director of Player Development at East Carolina. We're going to find out exactly what that means later on, but pretty good weekend for the Pirates, right, Heath?
Yeah, pretty good weekend. Obviously didn't finish Sunday the way we wanted to, but obviously showed good Friday night, and then elite pitching performance on Saturday by Zach Root and Wyatt Lunch for Chinkman.
Yeah, that was it. That was awesome, and we got a story to tell you about that as well. Coming up this week, a 5-game schedule, a little rain in the forecast, VCU for 2, and then on the road to Liberty. We'll talk about that and more. Coming up with Heath Blackman live in the studio after this.
Save a load on a new John Deere compact utility tractor and loader from Quality Equipment. It's never been easier to get the best brand on the market at an unbeatable cash price or with great financing at our lowest ever monthly payment. Now is the time to get that tractor package you've been dreaming of to get your next job done right. Stop by one of our 36 locations in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia, or visit us online at qualityequip.com.
This is Holton Ehlers from my friends at Anson Belts, the belts that I wear. Go to AnsonBelt.com to find micro-adjustable, holeless belts with over 30-plus options of a quarter-inch apart instead of your typical 5 holes, 1 inch apart, always giving you the perfect fit every time. If your waist fluctuates, Anson Belt is great because you can always find the perfect fit any time of the year. AnsonBelt.com, over 10,000 combinations to choose from, a belt for every occasion, and the official belt of the Holton Ehlers Show.
For years, Callie Ann Phelps has been singing about Phelps Chevrolet.
Phelps Chevrolet is the one for you. Low, low prices, service too. See the big dealer right away. Carolina's finest Phelps Chevrolet.
And you'll agree with what Skylar Phelps has to say.
Nobody beats Phelps Chevrolet's prices. Nobody.
The name you can depend on. Phelps Chevrolet.
Get you one.
Hi, I'm Walker Allen Volova, and I'm with CopyPro. CopyPro has been locally owned and operated here in Eastern North Carolina for over 50 years. CopyPro is the leader in office technology. Does your business struggle with keeping printing costs low or producing professional documents? Here at CopyPro, total satisfaction is our number one priority. We have a variety of solutions to help reduce your printing expenses and make your business more productive. Call us today at 1-800-682-6558 or online at copypro.net. CopyPro, we are the professional office systems people.
The brunch is back. The famous brunch buffet at Fifth Street Hardware has a variety of breakfast and lunch items from 10:30 to 2, including an omelet station and prime rib, and a special Sunday cocktail menu, including mimosa flights. Don't forget, Fifth Street Hardware has lunch specials every day, along with over 40 beers on tap. Trivia Wednesday, live music every Thursday night, and a late night menu through the weekend. Visit FifthStreetHardware.com or give them a follow on Facebook and Instagram for a weekly lineup and more. Go Pirates!
This is Brian Harris with 360 Golf Carts, Pitt County's go-to shop for all things golf carts. We have easy-go, club car, and utility carts to choose from. Whether it's for the beach, riding around the neighborhood, or working in the yard, 360 Golf Carts has the perfect ride for you. If you have issues with your current cart, take it by my shop for an expert's diagnosis. From parts to sales to service, we have you covered. We will even deliver right to you. So come see me, Brian Harris, on Highway 43, just past D.H. Conley High School. 360 Golf Carts, Pirates supporting Pirates.
This is Carson Wissenhunt, and you're listening to Pirate Radio, the voice of the Pirate Nation.
You're listening to The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities, providing reliable utility solutions to the Greenville region since 1905. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to our show. Pirates go 2-1 in the Keith LeClair Classic. East Carolina now playing VCU. Two-game schedule coming up midweek, and then the Pirates head to Liberty. We've taken your questions and comments on our Facebook live page. If you have anything for Heath Blackman, Director of Player Development at East Carolina. So the first question I have for you, exactly what is the Director of Player Development? What are your responsibilities? What do you get to do? Do you get to coach? Do you not get to coach? What do you get to do?
Yeah, so Director of Player Development, depending on kind of what university and program you're at, it could look a little different. Kind of since COVID, you know, when COVID came in, there were some waivers where Director of Player Development, Director of Baseball Operations could do more kind of baseball hands-on type stuff, hitting fungos, throwing BP, things like that. And so the job in theory has changed a little bit since that, with the waivers allowing, you know, myself and Blake Hardigree to do some more hands-on stuff. But, you know, my title involves kind of overseeing our analytics and video stuff. I've got some student managers that work under me that do a great job of just running that stuff on the day-to-day basis, whether that's, you know, running TrackMan in the bullpen, running video in the bullpen, running TrackMan during our games, running video stuff in-game where we can go back and do some scouting stuff on. So I oversee all that, make sure that stuff's operational and working, and then kind of help our coaching staff just implement that, give them access to the stuff they want to see. And then I'm with Coach Knight a lot with the pitchers, just kind of helping him out, anything he needs. I'll hit some fungo for Coach Palumbo, and then obviously any type of video that Henry Lartigue and Coach Guy want to see to look at our hitters, make sure those guys have that stuff so they can evaluate our guys.
How much video do you guys do? Are you allowed to do anything in-game with video?
Yeah, so we have, obviously you got the TV broadcast for video, right. But we also have, you know, it's called Bats. It's a software where we have seven cameras running at all time. Just where you got one in center field that kind of, you know, is a very similar view to the TV broadcast. Got a low home behind home plate, so we can kind of see what pitches are looking like from our guys after the game. A high home camera that lets us see kind of all the defensive plays throughout the game. And then we've got two in each dugout, two at the far end of the dugout, kind of stay on the pitcher at all times, and the two kind of closer to the on deck circle, they stay on the hitter at all times.
Man, that's fascinating. And who goes through all of that video? Because it's nice to have all those cameras, but then somebody's got to figure out, you know, what really benefits the team.
Yeah, so those things are, you know, we got a student manager, Cayman Crisp, who's an absolute stud, who he's running that during the game, and he's clipping it by pitch. So, you know, hey, first pitch of the game, strike, he tags as 0-1, and so we go back after the game. If there's an at-bat that somebody wants to see or a pitch that somebody wants to see, you just literally go kind of like a box score set up almost on the website where you can go in and click on that pitch and kind of see what happened on the play and get the data we want to get from it.
Wow, it's come so far. You know, we talk about signs and we talk about, you know, communication with pitchers, and, you know, everything's changed with, you know, the coach used to have all the signs and we give. Now, you know, it's a number situation and the guy looks down at his, you know, pad and figures out, you know, 161, what that means. And but it's that's even more fascinating. Well, I had no idea you guys had seven cameras.
Yeah, got those cameras rolling all the time. And like you're saying with the pitch calling stuff, we've got a, you know, watch system that makes sure
that's right. The watch system with pitching, mm-hmm. And with hitting, you got the arm pad.
Yeah, got the signed cards, and you kind of look up in college baseball, and certain teams do it different, right? There's some teams that they'll use the pitch calling watches for offensive signs as well. Cliff still likes using the signed card, and our guys haven't had any issues with it, so we've been rolling with that. But, yeah, a lot of technology in baseball these days that you can kind of really do what you want to with.
And are you allowed to look at some of that video during the game?
We're not supposed to look at it during the game, so that stuff.
We're not supposed to. That means. No, I'm just kidding.
We don't. Like the system we use, those seven cameras, none of that stuff publishes to after the game.
Okay.
So I'll publish it, and it takes, you know, roughly 30 minutes or so to upload to the website we use and for us to go back and watch.
Yeah. And so if somebody goes 0-4 and they're like, you know, what am I doing? You can go back and look, and it might be, you know, an elbow in the wrong spot, it might be, you know, weight transfer. All that stuff comes into play.
Yeah, obviously, you know, coaching, you know, you see things with the naked eye, but you obviously want to go back and validate that before you show it to the players. Like, hey, I feel like, you know, hey, this hitter's stepping out, this pitcher's cross-striding, whatever it might be, and go back and look at the video and be like, yeah, I had it right with my eyes, or go back and say, no, I need to look at something else to see what the guy's issue is.
Do some players do better with video than others? Do some just feel more comfortable looking at it, and some others, you know, they'd rather just have the hands-on experience and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, it kind of depends player to player. Our veterans do a good job of not over-analyzing things, right? Sometimes with new guys or younger guys, it's just new to them having all this access to stuff, and so we try to, you know, help them not go overboard with it of getting too dove into it. But you know, one thing that Coach Galvin and Coach Lartigue are big about is with our hitters especially, we like them to see success. And so he's very cautious about showing players failure on video because we want to promote confidence with those guys. And so they have a file that they have access to that we've got a bunch of their good swings in. Just that way, if they get to a rough patch in the season, they can go back and watch success and feel good about themselves
again. And baseball, by the way, and most people know this, baseball is a game of failure, isn't it? How you handle that failure is how much success you're going to have.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's, you know, Coach Gowan's big with those guys on the mental game and handling failure and approaching the game and highlight videos and things like that. Obviously, that's probably one of the biggest things with college players is the mental side of baseball. If they didn't have talent, they wouldn't be here. So just keeping them in the right frame of mind to be successful and get the job done.
And the other thing that, and I've always been amazed with what Coach Palumbo does and Coach Godwin does with trying to find roles for players. And this time of the season, it's very early, and you're kind of looking for those roles.
Yeah, you can kind of see that a little bit with just, you know, we've rolled out quite a few different lineups at times, you know, defensively and different batting orders and things like that. So some guys just trying to figure out what the role is, how they contribute to the team. And obviously you see that with the bullpen as well, right? Different guys getting chances and thrown in different situations just to kind of see who fits into what role and who can, you know, execute that role for the team.
Pirates at 7-4 on the season, and when you look at each game, I mean, not that you're going to win every game, but in those all those games, Pirates have had a chance.
Yeah, you know, there's four losses. I was looking at this morning. There's four losses by a combined five runs. So three of those losses, one-run games. Then obviously yesterday, a two-run game. So probably all four of those losses, we feel like we should have won and had a chance to win. And obviously they're close games, but you know, just a few things here or there that we clean up. We're, you know, probably maybe undefeated right now.
We're going to go through the three games in the LeClaire Classic. Before we do that, let's go back in your career and talk a little bit about, you know, how you got here to East Carolina. You know, you had a chance to spend, what, 4 years with the Showcase Baseball Academy, and that has to mean a whole lot to you and that experience and what you can do day-to-day at East Carolina.
Yeah, it's funny. We'll get emails at times at the office of just, hey, what can I do to get in college baseball? Kind of what career path would you say? And one of my first things is, well, don't take my career path. I went into Showcase and travel coaching and then high school coaching along with the Showcase stuff. And then just through knowing, you know, Coach Galvin, Coach Palumbo, Coach Knight, through them recruiting some of my players, me working camps here on the prospect camp side of things, got to know those guys. And the role came available when David Macias left to join the Padres. Coach Galvin had some shuffling the staff. You know, Kobe Bortles moved to the volunteer position. Coach Knight went from volunteer to the paid pitching coach, and then that left the player development job open there. But yeah, not the most conventional route to get in college baseball by any means. Usually you see, you know, somebody, you know, played and there was a graduate assistant or was a student manager and then a graduate assistant. None of that's in my background. I took the unconventional route to get here for sure.
Unconventional for sure. A guy like Brian Packard, who played at Conley, local kid, he had a great career at East Carolina, and now he's an assistant coach or kind of, you know, on the background, volunteer.
Undergrad assistant.
Yeah, so he's, and that's the path that you usually take.
That is the way more conventional path, exactly. Right? Obviously, Pack was a really good player, so he's drafted there for his junior year, went to play pro ball. He's back now finishing his degree, undergrad assistant. That's definitely more conventional route. You look up on our staff, that's what Henry Lartigue did. You know, played at Ole Miss, played some pro ball, went back to Ole Miss, finished his degree. Coach Knight played at Ole Miss, then went immediately to being a graduate assistant at Arkansas Little Rock. That's definitely the best path to take, but hey, everybody's got a different path, and mine led me here.
And you know, when you look at the staff and what Coach Godwin has done with the staff, I mean, the guys all get along. It's a very tight-knit staff. I mean, you know, to a man, just class acts left and right. And Henry comes in as a hitting coach. And the very first time I met him, he was on the show about a month ago. And he just fits right in that mold too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I really like our staff. I think we all have, you know, we enjoy going to work together each day. It's really fun. I think we all see each other as friends in some capacity. Obviously, we're working together, and there's some work things that you work through together. But I think, end of the day, we all respect each other, enjoy each other. We actually had, I think AK shared this, but back in the fall, after fall practice was over, we got pretty dove into pickleball as a staff.
And so I heard about that. Who's the best?
Packer's probably the best. You know, he's still the young guy.
That's right.
He's still a young athletic guy, so he's definitely the best. But we have some pretty competitive games. We all play 2-on-2, and we'll mix up teams and keep it competitive.
We joked about that because I had a chance as a kid to stay in the kitchen too long, and that's what got me to where I am. But it's a different kitchen, obviously. I don't understand the rules of pickleball. I don't understand when you can hit it on the fly and you can't hit it on the fly. And I haven't played yet, but I'd like to get out there.
When we first started playing, you know, Packer had the most experience, so I was trying to explain explain the rules, and we quickly came to find out that Packard made the rules.
He made it go?
Him. Yeah, they benefited him a lot early, and then we finally figured out the game. We kind of hold him a little more accountable now.
Yeah, I have to go on the internet and figure out what those real rules are.
That's exactly right.
And to do that. Now, you've got, speaking of the internet, the Pirates head to Liberty coming up this weekend, and I made the mistake. I read the bio, and you've got a degree from Liberty, but that's another unconventional path you've taken.
Yeah, I'll go to my alma mater and step foot on campus for the first time on Thursday. We show up for Thursday practice. So yeah, you asked me how the time at Liberty was. I was like, I don't know, man. I was on the computer.
That's right.
So never been there, but yeah, finished my degree there online. So we'll see what the alma mater campus looks like.
Modern technology and the online degree. They used to ask me at Old Dominion if I knew where the library was, and I did not. But we didn't have all that technology and all that like that. That's fascinating as well. An online degree at Liberty, and you get a chance to step on campus for the first time. You might be the man of the year at Liberty when you get out there.
We'll see. We'll see what the alma mater looks like, and we'll hopefully play some good baseball over there.
Heath Blackman, Director of Player Development, is our guest with Pirate Baseball. East Carolina, as we said, goes 2-1 in the LeClaire Classic, 2-2 for the week last week, stays at number 11 as far as the D1 baseball poll is concerned. We'll continue our conversation with Coach Blackman coming up after this.
And we interrupt you with breaking news live from the Pepsi Wild Cherry Aisle. Carol, can you hear us?
Steve, I've never seen anything like this. The bold, refreshing, and bursting with cherry deliciousness of Pepsi Wild Cherry is, well, let's just say everyone is getting wild.
Getting wild?
That's right, Steve. There's dancing, binge watching, and is that a slip and slide? They're really putting the wild in Pepsi Wild Cherry. And this on-the-scene reporter can't wait to pop, lock, and drop it.
Pepsi Wild Cherry, go ahead. Get wild.
The Angus Grill is your premier spot for the best burgers, cheesesteaks, and brisket sandwiches around. Join us for our unmatched variety of burger combinations. From the mushroom bacon Swiss burger, to the jalapeno popper burger, to the original Angus classic. Pair that burger with our amazing onion rings, tots, fries, or sweet potato fries. Angus Grill, with four amazing locations in Eastern North Carolina, including Winterville near Pitt Community College, on Jarvis Street in Uptown Greenville, and on Stattonsburg Road near the hospital. It's the best burger around, guaranteed.
East Coast Grading and Utilities is your source for clearing, hauling dirt, and concrete work. East Coast Grading and Utilities handles all sewer and water issues as well.
I'm David Vaughn. Whether putting in a new subdivision or helping you with any and all of your drainage problems, I can get the job done. Call me at 531-7494.
No job is too big or too small. East Coast Grading and Utilities. Friends helping friends. 531-7494. For East Coast Grading and Utilities.
There's a common misbelief today that to make it further, you need to push yourself, that you need to give up any joy to continue your rigid routine. Or you could try another way. Take some time to enjoy life, like having a Michelob Ultra with friends, because happiness is essential to living an exceptional life. Michelob Ultra, a refreshing and balanced flavor with only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Michelob Ultra, proudly distributed by Carolina Eagle Distributing since 1989.
This is Brian Bailey, host of The Brian Bailey Show, and you're listening to Pirate Radio, the voice of the Pirate Nation.
You're listening to The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities. Community owned, community powered. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to our show. 317-1250 is our phone number. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll ask for a caller, and we'll give you that Michelob Ultra prize pack, courtesy of Michelob Ultra, but not right now. We'll do it in just a few minutes. 317-1250, you can jot the number down. Mustache March. It is, the calendar has turned, and we're into Mustache March. You've got yours looking good?
This is about as good as my guess, man. I don't grow much facial hair, but for March, I try to see what I can do, but this is about as thick as it's going to get.
And I told Cliff, man, I don't start it until March 1st. I think everybody that does start it early, they're cheating a little bit, but I know you got to do what you got to do to get it out there.
Some of us had to cheat a little bit, right?
That's right.
It takes a while for me to get to, but your wife's pretty strict about your mustache,
well,
right?
Yeah, she's pretty strict about a lot of things, but the mustache included. But we do start it, and I used to have them. The funny thing about the mustache, Fest deal is I had one in college and kept it until 91 when the Peach Bowl season, you know, the 92 Peach Bowl, but that team did so well. And those guys were joking with me and they said, hey, if we go to a bowl game, you know, we want to shave your head. And I thought, you know, you guys aren't going to go to a bowl game. But then I said, after a couple more wins, I said, no, you're not getting the head, but you can get the mustache. And we shaved it off at a Hooters in Atlanta, Georgia, the week of the Peach Bowl. And then I said I would never grow it back in honor of that team, which was great until Mustache March came along.
Well, hey, at least you have good calls.
Now, right, yeah, we have good calls. And I enjoy doing it. And some of the most fun we have is when we shave them off at the end of March because, you know, a lot of the guys like them and keep them. A lot of the guys like myself are ready to get rid of the things. And, you know, getting that close to Cliff with a razor after some of the answers he gives you during the time as a media member. But I love him. But it's just a lot of fun. And some of the things that we've come up with through the years. I mean, Jake Agnos, one of the guys said, Jake changed nomination. You know, he's a different denomination now, and he goes hola, and they thought he went from Greek to Mexican all of a sudden. It was just hilarious how the whole thing, you know, played out and came about. But it's for a great cause. You can go to ecupirates.com, go to the baseball page, and there's an article about Mustache March, and you can click on that. Pirate Radio does a great job. They sell T-shirts, and they gave $2,000 last year. Hope to give even more than that this year, and it's for a great cause, as we said, trying to raise awareness and in the battle against ALS, because it's a devastating, devastating disease. And we all know the situation with Coach LeClaire. I was going to ask you this. Is it harder each and every year for the young guys to understand? Like the LeClaire experience, I lived it. You know, Cliff lived it. Cliff was a player. You know, I was a sportscaster, and the same thing I'm doing now. But those guys, you know, most of them have, you know, have a reverence for the history of how it was, but is it harder each and every year to get them to understand everything?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but honestly, Coach Godwin does a really good job of just bringing up Coach LeClaire and talking about how much Coach LeClaire meant to him and what he's meant to not just ECU baseball, but just Pirate Nation in general. A lot of our guys, you know, the freshmen, he'll give them a copy of Coaching Third, which is Coach LeClaire's book, and give them a copy of that. And so he does a really good job of just kind of reminding guys what the program was and kind of really how Coach LeClaire just did so much for ECU baseball and the tradition he left.
And just, you know, even before Coach LeClaire, the tradition that Coach O had at East Carolina baseball. I mean, it's just has evolved, and obviously Coach Godwin has kept that tradition going, and it's a nationally ranked program, and the goal each and every year is Omaha, and I agree, when it's going to happen at some point, and, you know, getting to Omaha is very, very difficult. And, you know, you look back at some of the situations the Pirates have been in, you know, you go to Vanderbilt and go up against two number one, you know, first round draft picks on the mound. I mean, you know, some of the things that happen to try to get there, but it's going to happen at some point, one of these days. But just what Pirate baseball has meant to this community for so, so many years, it's incredible.
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things, really, of being someone who didn't grow up in this area. I grew up close to Charlotte and getting here and just really realizing how much baseball means to the Greenville area and Pirate Nation in general. You look up at our attendance numbers, and it's remarkable that, you know, relatively speaking, Greenville's a smaller town compared to some other colleges.
Right.
You know, especially North Carolina, you think of, hey, North Carolina's in Chapel Hill, NC State's in Raleigh, but you look up our attendance numbers for, I think it's 23 years in a row, we've led the state in attendance. And that's obviously a testament to Coach LeClaire and his legacy, but just also to Pirate Nation of just how much they care about baseball and the baseball community is. Like, one of the cool things in moving to Greenville was showing my wife Elm Street Park. It's like, hey, like, yeah, you know, we're here in Greenville, like, the boys get to play there. And she's like, that's the Little League Stadium. I'm like, yeah, I think sweet, isn't it? But just a cool place to be, man. It's an awesome place, and it's an awesome fan base that really supports our baseball program, and we're definitely all thankful for that.
Yeah, it really is. I guess it's sometimes I want to say a well-kept secret, but I think the secret's getting out. People understand that baseball is important in Greenville, important to East Carolina, and East Carolina has a great, great program. And I think that's how you get, you know, so many good teams, you know, to an event like the LeClaire Classic. I mean, you know, having Cal State Fullerton come across, and Coach Deese goes 0-3. I mean, he may not want to come back, but I know he was thrilled to have his team in the tournament.
Yeah, it was awesome to see Coach Deese. Obviously, he means a lot to a lot of people on our staff. I didn't work with Coach Dietrich, but got to know him when he was recruiting some of our players and worked a prospect camp here when he was here. And he's an awesome guy. He's a fun guy to be around. Obviously, he's super close with Cliff and Jeff and Coach Knight. And so, just good to see him. His family's in town a lot. They've still got to play. Place over this way. And so just good to see him. Obviously, not the weekend that we wanted for him. We wanted him to go
2-1. Exactly.
Yeah, he needed to lose to us, but we wanted to see him in those other two games. But obviously, just pulling for Coach Dietrich out there at Cal State Fullerton and really respect everything that he does.
Oh, I remember when Dan Rozell left and Cliff said, yeah, I'm going to go after, you know, we're going to go after the best pitching coach we can find. And he did. I mean, Jason Dietrich coming to town really, I think, bolstered everything. And, you know, I look at AK, how much Austin Knight learned, you know, in that short amount of time. And he's doing a great job as pitching coach. I mean, I think Jason Dietrich loved it so much here, he wouldn't have left unless it was the perfect opportunity. And pretty much Cal State Fullerton, his alma mater, and the great history they have in baseball, that pretty much was the thing that got him out of East Carolina.
Yeah, that was definitely Dietrich's dream job. And, you know, obviously, like he says, his alma mater, a place that he had been at before, a place that he thinks a lot of, and a place that he obviously wants to get back to the status that they had in the past. And so, yeah, just an awesome opportunity for him. But, yeah, he was great while he was here. And obviously, Coach Knight's done an incredible job with the pitchers since Coach Dietrich's been gone. And he's got our guys going the right direction.
We'll talk about the three games in the LeClaire Classic coming up in just a bit. Let's go back to the North Carolina series and the interest statewide in that series and having the way, you know, Chapel Hill one night, Fayetteville, and then in Greenville. To me, and I think a lot of people agree, it had the feel of a regional or a super regional. I mean, it felt like in that third game, it's like the series is tied at a game apiece, and that third game, and the way that third game was played back and forth, and the momentum was here, the momentum was there. But when you start off in Chapel Hill, that was a battle too, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely a battle there in Chapel Hill. And, you know, we get there and we're getting ready to take BP, and they've got a tarp on the field, so we push the game back. So you got a little more anticipation growing to us. The weather going to hold off. We finally get to play. And, you know, really felt like we made one bad pitch on the night. You know, we have a hanging breaking ball that, hey, a future first rounder hits out of the ballpark. Yep. And they win the game 2-1. Obviously, Trey Savage was unbelievable that night. And, hey, credit to Carolina. Their pitching on Friday night did a remarkable job as well, keeping our guys at bay. And it wasn't necessarily that our guys were bad offensively. I actually thought our offense did a good job, especially against Carolina's starting pitcher, of putting some good at bats together. Just had nothing to show for it. But, hey, that's part of Friday night big boy baseball. And unfortunately, we're on the wrong end of that deal. But, hey, we came back the next 2 days.
And that's the difference when you go back and look at video and look at everything. You know, sometimes you can have a bad offensive day, and sometimes you can have a good offensive day against a great pitcher and not have a lot to show for it.
Yeah, no doubt. You think about, you know, especially, you know, Friday night baseball of, hey, you know, Friday nights you're going to face a really good arm. We throw a really good arm on Friday nights for us. And so success versus a Friday night guy compared to, hey, who you might see in the midweek is a little bit different, right? If you can get that starting pitcher on a Friday night out by the fifth inning,
yeah,
you feel pretty good about it, right? Versus midweek game, hey, you want to get to the bullpen instantly, right? Because you know it's more likely going to be a more offensive game.
So you guys leave Chapel Hill, come back for the night, then go down to Fayetteville the next day. The travel involved in the three games, was that a little bit of a grind for everybody?
We actually, I thought the travel wasn't bad at all, just by the way Coach Gowan and Blake Hargrey playing it out. So we played in Chapel Hill Friday night. After the game, we immediately got on the bus and bus down to Fayetteville, stayed the night in Fayetteville. So our guys were able to, you know, probably get a little more sleep that way.
Yeah.
Our hotel was, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes from the stadium. So our guys were able to kind of, you know, get the sleep they needed, not have a super early morning.
Right.
Came back to Greenville, had to get up early and get going.
That's true.
So I thought that was an awesome plan, you know, by Cliff and Blake to make that happen for our guys. And so the travel wasn't bad at all. Obviously, you know, we played fairly early in Fayetteville that Saturday, played at 1:00, and so we're getting back at a decent time, and our guys were able to get some good rest and be ready for Sunday.
Did Sunday feel like something different, even though it was an early season, regular season game? Even though, you know, if you lose that game, you know, you win it, either way, but it had a lot of meaning to a lot of the fans. I know that.
A ton of meaning to a lot of the fans, and obviously we announced an attendance record of
6,017.
So yeah, it definitely felt like a little more than just a regular season game, right? Obviously, our fans were super engaged and were awesome, you know, the entire game. And, you know, obviously just hearing the purple and gold chants throughout the game and just obviously feeling like our fan base is hanging on every single pitch. And I think it helps our guys out a ton of just knowing that, hey, we've got 6,000 behind us as well pulling for us. And yeah, it definitely didn't feel like an average Sunday early season game by any means.
Yeah, and in that game, I mean, Jake Hunter was so good, and it was one of those low scoring, you know, games. And then all of a sudden,
until it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. That's one of the craziest games when you're watching, because you know at one point you know you feel really good, the momentum's on your side, and the next thing you know it, the momentum's not on your side, and you think, oh, you know, and it went back and forth and back and forth, and it just turned out to be a classic, you know, just an instant classic, as they say.
Yeah, that's one of those games that as a coach it probably takes a few years off your life. I'm sure Cliff is probably super stressed out there going through the game, but obviously coming out on the good end of things and winning that one late, obviously Bristol with the walk-off was awesome. And so, yeah, it's one of those games that obviously you're fortunate to win, but also prepares you for the postseason. So, you know, as we get down the back half of the season, it's really where games, you know, hey, where your season's on the line. If you don't win in a regional, we've been in those moments already. We've had to, you know, put it together in pressure situations. So it just prepares our guys for down the road.
Do you look at RPI this early, or is it kind of one of those things that you really don't, or do you ever look at it?
I personally probably never look at it until we get way down
the season. Close to Clearwater?
Yeah, close to Clearwater, right? But you know, Coach Palumbo putting together the schedule, obviously it's something he's mindful of when making the schedule, because we want to put ourselves in position to host a regional, host a super regional. So it does matter, but I couldn't tell you what our RPI is right now. I have no idea. I haven't checked.
I haven't checked either. But I'm just wondering, you know, how it adjusts with, you know, the wins here, the loss here, that kind of thing. But
but that's, you know, that's one of the things, and Cliff, I think, had already said this, but RPI wise, like that series of North Carolina, like it doesn't really mean a whole lot to them, because the ACC RPI is already good, right? Yeah. Whereas, hey, we need some of those RPI games, right? And so for Coach Forbes to schedule that and something they want to keep going in the future, I think is awesome. And like you said, it's just really good for baseball. Like you look up across the state.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting, you know, over 3,000 at their place. We're 6,200 in Fayetteville. We're over 6,000 here. Like, just really good for baseball. And I think it's something you see with, you look across college baseball so far, the game is growing, right? There's attendance numbers being tossed out all across the country of attendance records and things like that. And so, obviously, those big games, they're awesome for baseball. Like I think about, I've got two boys, and like I can look up and say, hey, my 5-year-old and 3-year-old were able to watch, you know, two heavyweights go to blows, and, you know, the second weekend of the season. Like, that's pretty cool, and that's good for baseball long term.
And I think the future, you hope to play in Durham, at Durham Bulls Athletic Park. It's, and this year they couldn't play there because they had something going on there, so it was moved down to Fayetteville.
Yeah, but I think they had something with like a, they do something for, you know, like a winter festival.
Winter fest, yeah. And that's what I was
saying. I think in the past, you know, obviously Duke has rented out, you know, the Durham Bulls Stadium, but I think maybe their contract's expiring there. But yeah, Durham is definitely something that's been talked about as the place for that neutral site game moving forward.
And the guys really like playing in a minor league ballpark, don't they? It's a little different, and some of those guys will be playing in minor league ballparks in their future.
Yeah, they enjoy it. And obviously, a lot of times those minor league places do an unbelievable job taking care of us. The staff there at Fayetteville with the Woodpeckers did an unbelievable job with our locker room and just taking care of us. It's an awesome setup. The fields are obviously well maintained and well taken care of. And it's just good for fan bases, right? You sit there, and obviously Pirate Nation travels really well no matter where we go. But just cool for fan bases to get to experience other places. And yeah, our guys definitely enjoy it.
Heath Blackman is our guest. We're going to take a commercial break right now. As we go to break, 317-1250 is our number. We've got that prize pack courtesy of Carolina Eagle, my man Russ Saputo and company. So if you give us a call, caller 3 gets the prize pack from the Brian Bailey Show. Michelob Ultra is the official beer of the Brian Bailey Show. Caller 3, 317-1250. Back with more after this.
Hey Pirate fans, this is Coach Cliff Godwin. The physicians at Orthopedics East and Sports Medicine Center have been caring for our athletes at ECU for more than 35 years. Whether it's treatment for our sports injury or it's time for that joint replacement, Orthopedics East provides the latest in operative and non-operative orthopedic care, physical therapy, and diagnostic testing. For experienced and professional services, call the team at Orthopedics East at 252-757-2663 or visit them online at orthoeast.com. Go Pirates!
The best burgers around. Everyone loves a thick, juicy, and fresh burger. Tiebreakers in Greenville, plus the all-new Tiebreakers in Winterville, do real burgers better than anybody. So don't just go to any burger-themed restaurant chain. It's time to break the chain and eat local. Tiebreakers, real burgers at its best.
Everybody loves burgers.
Turkey, ham, bacon. These and other meats are great around the holidays and every other day. But they all leave behind grease when you cook them. And grease is a real pain in the drain. When you pour grease down a drain, it cools and can clog sewer lines. That can lead to sewer spills, which are messy, bad for the environment, and can also be expensive. Never pour grease down the drain. Instead, collect it in a container like a used soup can or jar. Let it cool and throw it away in the trash. Together, we can protect our sewer system and the environment. For more information, go to GUC.com.
This is your What's New update, brought to you by the new Greenville Auto World. What's new? The new Greenville Auto World has new owners, a state-of-the-art service repair facility that can help you with tires, state inspection, AC repair, and more. Greenville Auto World can work on any type of vehicle and offers great monthly oil change specials. What's new? You making a service appointment now by calling 364-8730. For award-winning service, trust Greenville Auto World, Highway 43 across from the Speedway at Bell's Fork. Pirates supporting pirates.
It's bow time. Chicken or biscuits? That's an impossible choice. How can you decide between Bojangles' perfectly crispy, boldly seasoned chicken or their fluffy, made-from-scratch buttermilk biscuits? Well, the good news is you don't have to. With a Cajun chicken filet biscuit, you get the best of both worlds. An all-white meat chicken breast marinated with a bold blend of seasonings and served up on a fluffy, golden buttermilk biscuit. When it comes to real-deal Southern flavor, there's no reason you can't have it all. Order a Cajun chicken filet biscuit today. It's bow time.
Bostick Sugg Furniture is proud to be the Greenville area's exclusive retailer of Lux Living and Bob Timberlake American Home. Elevate your home with beautiful Lux Living custom order sofas, chairs, and sectionals. Experience the elegant designs of Bob Timberlake's solid cherry furniture from the only dealer in North Carolina. Take an extra 10% off or get up to 48 months special financing. Lux Living, Bob Timberlake American Home, exclusively at Bostick Sugg Furniture.
Pirate Radio.
I listen to you guys all the time, especially when it's coming up to game week with the Pirates, and I assure you I'll be listening to Pirate Radio at some point during the fall this year.
The voice of the Pirate Nation. You're listening to The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities. Community-owned utilities mean local control, low rates, and high reliability. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back to our show. My man Kenny Curlings wins our Michelob Ultra prize pack. So congratulations to Kenny. Thanks so much for listening. As always, as we continue on with Heath Blackman, the Director of Player Development at East Carolina for Pirate Baseball under head coach Cliff Godwin. Pirates with games against VCU on Tuesday, scheduled for Wednesday, though there is rain in the forecast. And then coming up this weekend, Liberty. Let's go back to the LeClaire Classic. First of all, just the emotions that come with the LeClaire Classic. And I had a chance to talk to Lynn LeClaire for a few minutes on, I believe that was on Sunday, when I had a chance to see her. And just seeing her, I wrote this on Bonesville.net when I was writing for them, that if ever there was an angel on earth, it was Lynn LeClaire for what she went through. And I really, you kind of lose sight of it. I didn't really realize that Coach LeClaire was 40 when he passed away. It's unbelievable that he was that young, with ALS. And just the strength that LeClaire had. He would send out daily devotionals. And it was just, to watch what he went through and the strength he went through with it was inspirational for everybody.
Yeah, and that's, something that comes up a lot in our program. And obviously, I did not get to know Coach LeClaire personally, but just hearing stories from people in the community, obviously hearing stories from Coach Godwin and just different players who played for Coach LeClaire, just really remarkable. Human being. You hear so many good things. You hear about the impact he's made and really still continues to make. His legacy is incredible, and obviously it's why we still do Mustache March, and it's why we do all the things that we do to help out with the fight against ALS.
Now, all the players wore 23s on their jerseys, 23 of the caps. As a sportscaster, it was a little confusing at times because people would say, who's that? I'd be like, well, I'm trying to figure that out. The jerseys, the shirts had the numbers kind of small on them, mm-hmm. and most of the guys, you can tell who they are, but that was really cool to see all the 23s again.
Yeah, all the 23s on the field, and probably some kudos to Blake Hardigree. He was kind of texting the operations guys in the opposite dugout, like, hey, we've got such and such in the bullpen, because obviously everybody's got 23, so they have no idea who's warming up, and so we're having to over-communicate with the other team to let them know that, hey, this is who's down there, and just obviously helping the umpires out as well. Like, hey, everybody can't wear 23, so we got to make sure they know who's out there, and yeah, like you said, the numbers on the sleeves, but yeah, got to communicate and let people know who they are, because everybody looks the same there for a while.
They do, and the 23 caps, that was a great addition. I think that started last year.
Last year, the first year with that, so you got the 23 on the front, and then you got Coach LeClaire's signature on the back.
Yeah.
Really cool idea. I'm glad we're able to do it, and obviously we get a ton of ton of kudos on the hat. People really like the way the hat looks. Yep. So it's really awesome. It's an awesome weekend. Awesome to honor Coach LeClaire, and obviously awesome to be able to be a part of the fight against ALS.
Game one, Pirates take care of Purdue. Treya Savage was the story. 8 innings, pitched 11 Ks, gave up just 2 hits, no runs. And, man, you know, and you can tell by the number of scouts that come to the games, you know, how good Treya Savage is. And he was really good in that game.
He was really good on Friday. And, you know, one of the awesome things is, you know, the way Friday worked out is just his ability to go really long in the game. You know, you think about Trey and kind of who he is as a pitcher, he gets a ton of swing and misses. And so, you know, typically that kind of runs the pitch count up a little bit. But I did the math, and, you know, he basically averaged about 12 pitches an inning.
Wow.
This past week, you think about striking out, I think he struck out 11.
Over
8 innings. Doing that on 12 pitches an inning is obviously pretty remarkable. You know, I think our plan was for him to probably be done after the 7th inning, because he went out for the 7th, you know, I think in the low 80s in the pitch count, and has a 4-pitch inning there in the 7th. So, hey, we'll run back out for the 8th and let him go do it again. So he was obviously phenomenal. He's been great all year, and he's, you know, Trey deserves all the praise he gets. He's one of the hardest working guys on the team. He's a great teammate. He's a great mentor and leader to the younger guys on the pitching staff. And so it's just been awesome to watch him have the success he's had so far this year.
And is it true? I mean, they're looking at first round, you know, grades on him, aren't they?
He's a first rounder in my book.
Yeah, well, he is in my book, but I don't get a chance to draft. But I was thinking that he's kind of moving up in that first round too.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, what he did at North Carolina 2 weeks ago was obviously incredible. You know, what he did obviously this past Friday at home against Purdue was incredible. You know, there might be some guys out there who maybe have a better stuff or maybe throw the ball a little bit harder, but I don't think anybody can do what he does with the mix of stuff, power stuff, swing and miss stuff, and throw the strikes that he does. Hey, he's a first runner in my book.
Yeah, I tell you what, and it's so nice to see. Yeah, Gavin Williams was a first rounder, and just to see his, you know, the way he's gone through the minors, and now he's, you know, in the rotation with the Guardians, and you know, I get a chance to talk to him every once in a while. He spoke at the banquet earlier in January. But, you know, as far as recruiting goes, I mean, when you're recruiting guys and you say, hey, well, we've got Alec Burleson, you know, with the Cardinals right now, and that's got to help too.
Yeah, no doubt,
big time.
That's kind of what you're seeing now with obviously Cliff's tenure here at East Carolina. Is you're starting to see a, you know, pretty good matriculation of guys who played for Cliff here at East Carolina be in professional baseball,
right,
and be at the major league level. And so that definitely, I'm sure, helps out with recruiting. Obviously something that we can, you know, we can brag about and be excited about to promote the program. And it's really cool, man. You mentioned Gavin. I didn't get to coach Gavin here, but he comes back. You know, he was here obviously for the banquet, like you said, but he threw some bullpens here at our place and in the bullpen. And just Gavin's an awesome dude, man. I didn't get to coach him, but getting to meet him, like, probably not the person you expect for the success he's had. Right? Like, to me, he's just a super humble guy. Everybody in our program talks highly of him, and just the human being that he is, and just a really cool guy. And obviously, Burley was back as well, getting ready for the season. Just appreciate those guys coming back around, and obviously being huge ambassadors for East Carolina baseball. It definitely helps.
Burley went through some kind of weight training program and lost, you know, a lot of weight.
Yeah, he
looked good, didn't he?
Yeah, he looks good, and it looks like he's playing well so far. Cliff actually sent a kind of a, you know, a clip of Ollie Marmol, the manager there with the Cardinals, talking about Burley and just how proud of the work Burley put in the offseason was. And obviously he's had some success early in spring training, so hopefully he has a big year. It would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome, I tell you. But Treya Savage next up as far as guys. Connor Norby's going to be the next one in the pros probably. He's in AAA, and I thought he would be up this year. I think the last thing I read, will he start the year in AAA? Have you heard that?
I think that's right, and obviously I think
he's on the cusp.
He's definitely on the cusp, and I think if he was, you know, pretty much anywhere else other than Baltimore with the
right
lodge in they got, he'd probably already been to the show. But hey, they're a really good organization with a lot of really good players, but his time's going to come soon, I feel like.
And that Baltimore organization, I mean, you know, they've turned that thing completely around.
Yeah, that's got Coach Palumbo excited. Coach Palumbo's a huge Orioles fan, so he's always bragging about the Orioles. I'm a Braves guy, so I still remind him that, hey, the Braves are they're still at the top of my book, but the Orioles are definitely coming.
Clip's a Braves guy too, right, Clip Brock?
Yeah. Yeah, Clip.
He's got the tomahawk chop going over in the studio, so that's good.
Should be good. The Dodgers have bought every player.
They have done that.
Hey, but it's all right.
Braves gonna be good this year.
Braves gonna be good, Clip.
Cubs are gonna be fine. Cubs will be fun to watch.
Are they?
I don't know.
I'm not going to watch them. So.
Oh, how about that?
I'll
let you know.
Games.
They got a winnable division.
They do that. They most certainly do. And they've got a manager that came over from Milwaukee that means business. So, all right, Pirates win 7-1 over Purdue in that first game. Carter Cunningham had a home run, kind of a little foreshadowing of things to come for Carter Cunningham, right?
Carter's been incredible this year, and one of the cool things about Carter, he's just such a humble guy and somebody, fifth year of college baseball, but goes about his work, the right way every single day. He's a great teammate, a really incredible kid. It's funny. I had a buddy of mine who texted me this morning. Goes, hey, my kid actually caught Carter's home run from Sunday. Anyway, we can get it autographed. And Carter was at our guys on spring break, so Carter was at the facility eating breakfast. I was like, Carter, you might sign that. He goes, did I'll sign it anytime. Like, he's just one of those kids who's easy to pull for. Obviously, he cares about other people, and obviously the start he's had has been awesome, and obviously he's an easy guy to pull for, and hope he keeps that success up.
And he's got his own kind of benefit going on, too, right?
He might make himself go broke. He has a really good year. He's got the homers that help going on, where you have a sponsor for each home game that offers up $300 to sponsor the game initially, and then any home run we hit, had to donate an additional $100 to the Maynard Children's Hospital. But any home run Carter gets,
somebody had 800 on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
That's five homers by my math.
That's a big price tag, but it goes to a good cause. And any home run that Carter hits, he's got to donate $25 to the call. So hopefully he'll go broke this year. That'd be awesome for the Pirates.
That would be. And he had a big game on Sunday as well. But Pirates win 7-1 in game one, take you to the Saturday game against Cal State Fullerton. And obviously, the emotions there playing, true friend of the program, Coach Dietrich and his Cal State Fullerton team. And that was a classic, wasn't it?
Man, that was definitely a classic, and obviously just a total pitcher's duel. It's funny, we poked fun at Trey Savage the week before against North Carolina about how he pitched so well there, but then Zach went up to him on Saturday and Fayetteville and got AAC Pitcher of the Week. And so we're in the pitcher's meeting on Saturday, and Coach Knight makes the joke, hey, Trey, there's no way Zach can one-up you this week, right? And sure enough, Zach goes there and pitches the tail off again. So those guys have got a pretty good duel going on. But obviously, he was incredible. White Lunch for Schenkman was awesome. And then Nate Crispin there with the walk-off sack fly. And I know, Cliff's post-game on Saturday praised Nate. But Nate's, again, one of those guys who shows up, works hard every single day, and does a little bit of everything for us, right? He'll get in there, pinch run. He'll go in and play some defense late in games. But just a cool guy to get to have that moment, to have a special moment to walk us off on Saturday.
Yeah, and as Coach said, he certainly deserved it. And that's part of the things that we've talked about. Everybody has to have their individual role, and that's a great example right there. You don't have nine great players and a bunch of, scrubs on the bench. You've got to have great players throughout the whole program, and then they just have to find their roles and kind of adapt to them, and he certainly has.
Certainly has. And yeah, like you said, it's good to have depth, right? And obviously, I think that's something we feel like we have this year. Just different guys who can fill different roles. And Nate's one of those guys who Cliff loves to use to pinch run and things like that. But also, hey, there's other guys that are filled in as well. And so just those guys embracing the role and stepping up at the moment. I think back to even like we talked about with the Carolina series, Bristol Carter, has a tough night on Friday at their place, loses a fly ball in the lights, doesn't do well offensively, comes out of the game, and then Sunday he's right back in there and has a big hit to win it. And just cool to see those guys when the moment calls, different guys answering the bell and keeping us moving forward. It's awesome.
Story about the Cal State Fullerton game. So I'm a big Virginia basketball fan, have been so since I was a kid. 1976, they won their first ACC tournament. Terry Holland was the coach. Just some of the players through the years. So I get a chance. If Virginia plays at Duke, a good friend of mine is a big Dukie, so he gets me two tickets. I take Melissa. We go to Cameron Indoor Stadium, get a chance to see. Now, Virginia didn't show up the other night. They got clubbed by Duke. It was brutal. So in the second half, I'm sitting in my seat, and it's a great seat, and I'm watching the Pirate game. Because, it really wasn't much to watch on the floor, but I really wanted to see how he's – I knew before that, Clip Brock was sending me text messages, scores after five, after six, after seven. So, I was getting the text message. I was keeping up with the game that way. So I'm watching the game late in the game, And the guy beside me, he says, "I don't mean to bother you, but what are you, you know, this is Duke, this is Cameron Indoor, you know, why are you watching your phone?" And I said, "Well, I'm from Greenville, watch East Carolina baseball, big fan of the Pirates, and I cover them for a living. And, you know, they've got a big tournament this weekend. It's a great game." And I was trying to give him some of the background.
Sure.
And he was amazed, though, that somebody's watching a college baseball game while the, you know, number 10 team in the nation is on the basketball floor at Cameron Indoor Stadium and the history there. But, yeah, so I got a chance to see, you know, all of a sudden the run scores on the sack fly and the celebration. And got a chance to see the lights
the new
go
lights,
off.
Man.
Yeah,
yeah,
the lights.
It was funny, you know, Nate gets the sack fly and obviously Dixon scores and everybody's clapping for that, and then the lights come on. It's like we got another standing ovation for the lights.
Yeah,
big win there. So those things look awesome. We got to see them a little bit on Sunday as well.
Bailey, you're such a millennial, watching your phone.
I know. I thought the same thing.
I'm actually impressed, man. You know, you got ESPN Plus on the phone. That's impressive.
Yeah, I had ESPN Plus on the phone. I was watching the Pirates, and it was funny. The guy legitimately was just looking at me like, you know, why in the are you watching
kids
a baseball
days.
Game? Yeah, what are you doing? This is Duke. You know, because I don't wear any Virginia clothes. I just kind of dress normal and just kind of sat in the stands. And usually when I go on this trip, Virginia either upsets them or plays them really, really tough. Didn't happen in this trip, though. It was a 30-point game, I think, in the first 5 minutes, and went downhill from there. So it was a.
Well, you should have invited your guy beside you to come to Greenville, come watch a baseball game.
Well, I did tell him that. I did say that. It's funny you said that. I said, "Hey, anytime you want to come to Greenville, I know people. I can get you tickets. Come on, you know, we'll get you in the jungle. You'd have a great time."
Yeah, I could experience, you know, one of the best baseball atmospheres in the country, man. And obviously, Duke basketball, Cameron Dorr is sweet, but hey, you know, Clark LeClaire for baseball games.
That's true.
Unrivaled,
yeah,
you know?
That's true, too. Yeah, we can get him home. But the look on his face was just priceless. I wish I could have taken a picture of it because you guys would have cracked up on that one. Pirates win 2-1 over Cal State Fullerton. Another great pitching performance. Root goes 7, struck out 10, gave up 3 hits. Wyatt Lunsford-Shankman, 4 innings pitched, 7 Ks. Just incredible, you know, the way those guys went about their business in that game.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously Zach, really good start. And then you get back to the later parts of the game where it's, you know, hey, you give up a run here, you might lose the game, right, getting late. And just Shankman's ability to navigate that. Obviously, he had the PFP error, the ground ball back to him that he fumbled a little bit. We gave him a hard time about that, but stayed poised and got out of it. And just the energy he pitches with, you know, he stays very poised, and then he'll get a big punch out in the inning, and he's pretty fired up.
He
gets everybody out fired up, gets the fans fired up. So just an emotional game, but obviously awesome those two guys navigated it the way they did, kept Fullerton at bay, and allowed us to get it going offensively to win the game there late.
Game 3 on Sunday, Southeast Louisiana. Southeastern Louisiana 11, Pirates 9 was the final. Another game that, you know, Pirates fell behind early in this one and really battled back. And by the time we got to the 7th, I thought the Pirates may, you know, come all the way back and win this one.
Yeah, it felt like we had the momentum going. And, you know, offensively, our guys kept responding and just weren't able to hold, you know, the lines of Southeastern Louisiana at bay. They kept chipping away. We'd score some runs. They'd answer back. And, you know, it kind of felt like we just ran out of time there. You know, obviously you only played 9-inning game, but felt like we were building momentum late and just couldn't ever catch up.
Yeah, and you look at the bullpen, and we were talking about it before we went on the air, but it seems like across the country that all teams are trying to figure out their bullpens. And I think that, you know, you made the comment that Austin had said our bullpen at 1 year was really not doing that well until they were.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the light came on.
Yeah, in 2022, you know, you look at the back half of the season, and we had, you know, one of the best bullpens in the country. Well, early on in 2022, it wasn't that good, right?
We
start 2022 pretty rough, honestly, and obviously we had the 20-game win streak that helped that out, but our bullpen wasn't good in 2022, and all of a sudden it was electric and really good. And so, you know, like I told you, it seems like there's bullpens across the country that that's kind of the standard right now. Guys are trying to figure out who needs what role, who fits that role, who can execute that role. And so we're going to be fine, man. There's plenty of talent in our bullpen, and those guys are going to get it done. Some guys are going to step up, but our bullpen's going to be fine.
Yeah, and you look at guys, you know, just like hitters, I think pitchers may go into slumps or may go into, you know, situations. You know, Danny Beal's one of my favorites, and he hasn't been himself yet. We think he's going to be himself soon.
Yeah, obviously Danny was great last year. The end of 2023, he was the guy that we seemed like we called on every single day to pitch, and he was awesome. And so, you know, some bumps in the road early this season, but it's still early, and I think our guys are more than capable to have a really good bullpen. I think you're going to look up in the season, and we're going to have one of the better bullpens in the country, and those guys are going to get it done. And just some early season woes, but I have full confidence in our guys that we're going to be good when we need to be good.
And historically, Cliff seemed to have a guy that he likes to bring in, you know, to shut the door down and kind go as long as he can.
Yeah.
You know, Carter Spivey comes to mind. You know, different guys throughout the years, but guys, you know, and I think, you know, and maybe that guy is Wyatt Lunsford-Shankman this year, or maybe it will become Danny Beal. Who knows? But I think there's enough talent in that bullpen that they're going to come around at some point.
Yeah. Definitely enough talent. And, you know, you mentioned Carter Spivey. It's funny, like, Carter Spivey in 2022, like, wasn't really, you know, a guy that anybody anticipated to be what he became.
Oh, yeah.
In 2022, all of a sudden, he emerges as this, you know, elite stopper in the bullpen. He's finishing out games. He's getting the biggest outs of the game. He's pitching, you know, 3-4 innings out of the bullpen, and he just kind of emerged, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of wait for somebody to do that as well. But I think there's plenty of talent in our bullpen, and those guys are going to look up in the season and be happy with what we got down there.
I forget what his record was the year he was the pitcher of the year in the American, but it kind of like snuck up on everybody, and all of a sudden you look at this, and you're like, wow, you know, look at that record, and look at that ERA, and he was not only had a great ERA, he was getting the big outs, as you said. I mean, that's the kind of thing that he was able to do. Pirates fall to 11-9-5 home runs is encouraging in the game.
Yeah, got a lot of light shows. Got the lights good work.
Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't dark enough to really see.
I think we blew out a bulb or two at some point.
Hey, that's fine. We'll get them replaced. We'll tell JJ that can be on. They can be on Cliff's next list for JJ to get done and get some light bulbs replaced. So we blow them out.
Cliff will give a list to JJ, won't he?
Well, see, the problem is not Cliff getting the list; it's JJ getting the list done. So I'm kidding. JJ will give me a hard time about that, but no, JJ's awesome. He does an awesome job for us, but. If we blow the lights out, we'll just put it on the JJ list.
There you go. Southeastern Louisiana beats East Carolina in the finale 11-9. Three teams go 2-1, and Cal State Fullerton goes 0-3 as far as the Keith LeClaire Classic is concerned. We're going to take our final break, and then we're going to wrap things up with Heath Blackman. It's been a great conversation. Back to wrap it up in this edition of the Brian Bailey Show for you right after this.
Hey Pirate Nation, this is Jacob Jiggins Cowart, and the best place to go for custom t-shirts, apparel, or promotional items is University Sportswear. University Sportswear hit a home run for me when I needed my custom t-shirts. From start to finish, University Sportswear provided superior customer service and a quality product that cannot be beat. If your business, organization, or event needs t-shirts or promotional help, then you need University Sportswear. Visit UniversitySportswearENC.com for contact information. Go Pirates!
The Holton Ehlers Show.
Parker Byrd, you were already kind of like Greenville famous, ECU famous, but I mean, you were like worldwide famous over the weekend. How does that feel?
I mean, it's crazy just seeing people like Theo Von. I mean, Danny Duncan reached out, which is crazy to me because I watched him growing up, and he reached out to me and was like, hey, let's do something together one day. So that was pretty cool. And then the Mark Cuban thing yesterday was wild to me just because, I mean, he's a multi-billionaire. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy to see the people that it's reached, and hopefully has impacted a good bit amount of people as well.
The Holton Ehlers Show, Thursdays and Fridays at 6, and available on the Pirate Radio TV YouTube channel.
Hey, Pirate Nation. Be sure to have the best and comfortable shoes with a stop at Fleet Feet. This is ECU alum Chris Lunyon, owner of Fleet Feet of Greenville, and we provide solutions through one-on-one service to runners, walkers, and everyone in between. Fleet Feet has the tools and technology to get you in the right shoe, including a 3D foot scanner that measures arch height, width, and more. Come visit us at 207 East Arlington Boulevard in the old Gordon's Golf location. Fleet Feet, we run for you.
Hey Pirate Nation, this is Cliff Godwin, the head baseball coach at East Carolina University. I've been a Pirate Club member since I graduated in 2001, and you should too. By joining the Pirate Club, you become part of a family that helps our student athletes flourish on and off the field. When you enroll as a member, you're not just getting a membership, you're getting a front row seat to the action. To join, visit ecupirateclub.com or call 252-737-4540 today. Go Pirates.
I'm Donald Stocks, owner of Pip Marketing Signs Print. We are your one-stop shop for just about anything printed. If we're not your go-to printer, please give us a call at 355-1636. We have over 80 five-star Google reviews and want you to be our next more than satisfied and well-pleased customer. Check us out at growitpip.com or stop in to see us at 3185 Mosley Drive in Greenville. Pip, where business goes to grow.
Hey Pirate Nation, this is proud ECU graduate and former baseball player Brandon Manning inviting you to join my team at Farm Bureau Insurance. Right now is a good time to review your coverage with a local trusted agent like me. I will make myself available before or after business hours, and my clients always have my cell phone number if they need anything. From home, auto, or life, give me a call today and let's talk about your insurance coverage and about the Pirates. Call 531-1812 and go Pirates!
Hi, this is Morgan Ehlers, and you're listening to Pirate Radio, the voice of the Pirate Nation.
You're listening to The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities, working for our community, not for shareholders. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back as we wrap things up with Heath Blackman, Director of Player Development at East Carolina. Busy week for East Carolina baseball. Two games scheduled with VCU. Again, Wednesday, rain is expected. We'll have to see what happens with that. Tuesday's game scheduled for 4 o'clock. That could move if needed, but you know, that's always the case as far as weather games go. And then you guys hit the road to take on Liberty. So this a five-game week, and that's going to test your pitching a little bit.
Yeah, five-game week, and obviously we'll kick that off tomorrow against VCU and then play them again on Wednesday if the weather allows. And Thursday we'll get on the road, get on the bus, get up to Liberty, get up to Lynchburg, and get a Thursday night practice in, and then three games there against the Flames.
You got to get a tour of your campus.
Yeah, that's right. You've got
your degree.
I'll reach out to admissions and see if I can get a student tour. Hey, I actually got a degree from here, but I've never seen the place. Somebody show me around?
Somebody show me around. Re-recruit me, perhaps. That's a great story. But the Pirates with a busy week, as we said, five games coming up. Don't forget Mustache March. Again, it looks pretty good right now, and that's all we're going to get, huh?
That's about all we're going to get. Maybe I'll find some road game for my mustache to make it grow or dye it or something. But, we're excited about Mustache March. And, you know, just obviously we got a goal of $15,000 to raise. Last year we met that goal just over that. So far this year, we're about 12% of our goals. So we've already got about $2,000 raised just from opening weekend of March. And so looking forward to beating that goal. Obviously, we like to, you know, it seems like Pirate Nation likes to break records with attendance. Maybe we could break a Mustache March record this year.
I dyed mine 1 year, and I left. Some of that dye got on the sink. That was a bad day in my house.
How'd your wife feel about that one?
That was a bad day. First of all, she says, what the are you doing anyway? Yeah, I made a little bit of a mess.
You're on the couch for a week after that?
Yeah, it may have been more than a week. But it's all in good fun. It's all for a great cause. Check out Mustache March. ECUPirates.com. Go to the baseball page and click on the article, and you can click on where to donate. Heath, thanks so much for the visit. Certainly appreciate it. Best of luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. This place is awesome. I was telling you before we got on air, this is my first time in here, and this place is nice, man. I appreciate all you guys do for ECU Baseball and Pirate Nation, all the coverage you guys put out. It's awesome. We appreciate it.
We appreciate you. Heath Blackman, our guest. We'll see you next week right here on The Brian Bailey Show.
This has been The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities, and also brought to you by
The Angus Grill, Bostic Sug Furniture, Bojangles, East Coast Grading, Greenville Auto World, Papa John's, Greenville Utility Company, Michelob Ultra, The Rick House, Taft, Taft & Hagler, and Tiebreakers.
Join us next week for another edition of The Brian Bailey Show, right here on Pirate Radio.